eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So, Bridget, you mentioned Matthew Tkachuk. Scott, would you like to, at this point, bring up a question that I think it was Scott and Lowell sent to us?
Yeah, well, so I was just thinking about that, and I feel like it's popped up a couple times, but obviously, Florida has benefited greatly from the trade to get Matthew Tkachuk last year. You know, he did completely change that team and has stepped up in the playoffs, and they had to give up a lot to get him. They traded Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, I'll say like a mid-tier prospect. The prospect wasn't much, but and a first-round pick. You know, if you look back, in theory, like the Bruins are another team that could have been in the position to consider that trade. And it would have been David Pastrnak involved because Huberdeau had 1 year left. Pastrnak had 1 year left at that point, obviously had not yet signed his extension last summer. Tkachuk was the restricted free agent. I think Pastrnak's better than Huberdeau, so you probably wouldn't have had to give up as much in addition. But I'm just curious because I feel like other people have maybe even at the time, but certainly now have said, you know, the Bruins should have done something like that. Do you guys think, go back to last summer with hindsight, should the Bruins have traded David Pastrnak for Matthew Tkachuk?
With hindsight, definitely in hindsight, they should have done it if they couldn't have extended Pasta this season. Then this would be like a no-brainer. Yes, obviously, you should have gotten some value for Pastrnak when you could, but the fact that Sweeney was able to sign him during the season makes it a different conversation, and it kind of makes it more about just whether or not you like Pastrnak better than Tkachuk for the long haul. It's tough because I don't think anybody would say that they'd want to see Pasta go. In fact, it was a huge topic of conversation this past off season, during the season. And it was a big deal when the Bruins were able to sign him back. So it's interesting. And I think with hindsight, you see these are two very different style of players. There's not much about Tkachuk's personality that's similar to Pastrnak's personality. So when I saw the text from Scotty and Lowell, Scott's sending us our own mailbag questions at this point. The mailbag is coming from inside the house, but I think it would have been too big of a risk to do. I think that as much as Tkachuk has really started to bloom, and we always knew he had great potential and was probably stuck in a not so great situation when he was up in Calgary, but I still don't think you trade Pastrnak for him. I still just think in hindsight, you see how well Tkachuk's playing in the playoffs, but that's a hard choice to make right there.
It's a fascinating question. It's of course, it's a recency bias type of question where you look at Matthew Tkachuk and what he's doing and how integral he was in beating Boston and Toronto and Carolina and en route to a Stanley Cup final here. He is 2 years younger than Pasternak. And they play such different styles. I guess for me, it's like, I just don't – David Pasternak wasn't the problem for the Boston Bruins this year. All he did was score 61 goals and give him a 3-2 lead or a 4-3 lead, whatever it was, 3-2 lead with 9 minutes to go in game 7 of the first round series. By the way, a game-winning goal that could have stood and eliminated Matthew Tkachuk from the playoffs. If Matthew Tkachuk is on this Boston Bruins team this year and David Pasternak is on the Florida Panthers, like, do the Bruins win that series? I guess that maybe that's like the way to kind of look at it. Well, not really. Well, yeah, I mean, well, no, because Pasternak would be where, in Calgary? Yeah. But let's just say, like, hypothetically, like, you know, if we're comparing the players, right? Like, the Bruins defense totally fell apart in the series. Like, their defensive structure was terrible. So I would love somebody like Matthew Tkachuk on the Bruins. I think they kind of have a similar type player in Tyler Bertuzzi going forward. Not Tkachuk level, okay? But they have like a knockoff brand of Matthew Tkachuk if they were to re-sign Bertuzzi. So, but if we're going back a time a year ago, right, that's the question. The answer is no, because at the time, Matthew Tkachuk, his real coming up party has been this year in these playoffs. And Scott, you mentioned how in postseasons past, he did not excel in Calgary. David Pasternak has been a point-per-game guy in the playoffs with the Bruins his whole career. So knowing what we know now, it's like, yeah, it makes it tougher. But back then, my answer is no. I wouldn't trade Pasternak for him because I don't think that Matthew Tkachuk subbing in for Pasternak makes this team any better because it doesn't address needs that they're going to need going forward. Like, their needs going forward are center ice and other things. So
if we're putting ourselves back in that time span, so the trade for Tkachuk happened in July. And the Bruins were still trying to, first of all, they were definitely in heavy negotiations to re-sign Pasternak. They didn't know if Bergeron was coming back. They didn't know if Krejci was coming back.
They probably did know that at the time. It just hadn't been announced yet. And yeah.
I thought that their decision came, wasn't it in August?
No, Bergeron had let, at least Bergeron had let them know before free agency started. So that was end of June.
Okay.
And also, they actually wouldn't really have been negotiating a whole lot with Pasternak at that time because you remember, like, with everything he went through 2 off seasons ago, yeah. You know, losing his baby son. After the season, they basically just gave him space to, like, go back to Europe and have a summer. So they're probably talking to his agent, I would guess.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. I mean. I don't mean, like, Pasternak in person. I mean, yeah. The negotiations were happening to make an extension happen. I don't know. It's a tough question because when you think about it this way, if you ask it this way, does Tkachuk fit the Bruins mold? Absolutely. He fits it perfectly. Where would you put him? Like, if say that did happen, where do you end up putting Tkachuk in this lineup?
I mean, he could have either been the exact same spot as Pasternak. Like, it, you know, could have been a Zaka, Krejci, Tkachuk line. Obviously, you could have put him with Marchand and Bergeron. I think he's kind of a player who fits anywhere, honestly. Like, you look at what his line has been in Florida, and he's always been the one carrying. Like, he rarely has been on a line with Barkov. It's always been with Bennett and then, you know, either Verhaeghe or Lustarinen or Nick Cousins or whoever on the left wing. He has definitely made guys better. And, you know, I guess, like, kind of what, like, this idea would get, the core of it is, like, just the attitude change or – the style? Like, is the way Tkachuk plays, is that more of a playoff style, more conducive to winning the playoffs? And yeah, obviously this year it has been. Like, he's a huge reason why the Panthers have gone on this run. But, you know, to now kind of answer my own question, there's a reason that I wasn't pushing to trade Pastrnak for Tkachuk last year. There's a reason I didn't, you know, after that deal happened between Florida and Calgary, I didn't jump on here saying, oh, the Bruins should have been doing that with, you know, giving up Pastrnak. Like, no, because I wouldn't have done it at the time. So I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and say, oh, yeah, they should have done it. Huge mistake or whatever. Like, one, I'm not sure it even is a mistake. I mean, we'll see. Like, let's see what, if Florida finishes this off, let's see what the future holds. I still think Pastrnak can be the best player in a Stanley Cup winner. I absolutely believe that. Like, and again, their track records before this season favored Pastrnak. As Brian said, he was the one who was a point per game guy in the playoffs. Tkachuk was barely over half a point per game in the playoffs with Calgary. Pastrnak had already had, I think, two 40 goal seasons and two more 35 plus goal seasons. Tkachuk had just had his first 40 goal season, and I think his career high before that was, give me 1 second, was 34. And other than that, he hadn't topped 30. So Pastrnak had the track record at this point last year too. So yeah, like I wouldn't have done it then. And I can't sit here and say that it was a mistake not to do it, especially because they did eventually get Pastrnak locked up. And now, what I will say is, I think you could definitely make the case that you would rather have Tkachuk at $9.5 million per year for the next 7 years after this versus $11.25 million for Pastrnak. Like, I do think $1.75 million per year is a fairly significant gap for players who over the last 2 years have basically had, you know, Tkachuk's actually put up more points than Pastrnak over the last 2 years. Obviously Pastrnak had a massive goal scoring year this year. But like, I think that's fair. Like, if you factor in price, but you know, again, going back to like this time last year, the Bruins probably didn't really think they were going to have to get to 11.25. Like, you might've thought you were going to get him for 10 or 10 and a half. And then that gap's not as big.
I mean, I'll ask this question, right? Hindsight's 2020. Let's, you know, I think we're all in agreement that this time last year, things were different and whatnot. But you look at it as it stands right now. Tkachuk's 25, Pastrnak's 27. I think he just turned 27 recently. All things considered equal, if the point production is relatively the same going forward per season, now you can maybe Pastrnak is more goal heavy than Tkachuk is. But look, this year, Pastrnak had 61 goals. 61 goals. Okay. Total, he only had like four more points than Tkachuk. So Tkachuk had 64 assists, and I think he had like 40 goals, something like that. My point is, if their point production is relatively the same, okay, call that a wash one way or the other. Look at the rest of their games. Tkachuk is he drags his team into the fight more. He's more he's more responsible defensively, I would say. I mean, Pastrnak is a turnover machine. Absolutely, no doubt about it. And I would say Tkachuk, because that, might be a smarter player all around. So I guess going forward, who's the better hockey player? Who's the better hockey player at all facets of the game? I mean, it's probably Matthew Tkachuk. And I know that sounds crazy to say, but he might be an all around better player than David Pastrnak, as long as the point production is relatively even, within 5-10 points of each other every year. I mean, Tkachuk takes the cake in the other categories, defense, intangibles, grit. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah. And to just the stats on him this year were 69 assists, 40 goals. And I think, Brian, you're right there we're kind of at a crossroads with the two of them, don't you think? Where Pastrnak has been the better player previous to, say, this playoffs. Now we see Tkachuk ramping up to this new level.
I think you can even say last year, like, yeah. And I know there were extenuating circumstances for Pastrnak hockey wasn't really the priority, but like Tkachuk outscored him by 27 points last year, 104-77.
I guess what I'm saying is they're coming to a more similar level over the past few seasons. Tkachuk is he about to really significantly pass him? That's what we don't know. And then that's when the hindsight becomes, you know, even more if next season over the next few seasons, Tkachuk just stays at this level that he was at and brings what he can bring. And he does have more intangibles. Just personality wise, he thinks a lot differently than Pastrnak does. But then you could also say in hindsight, if the Bruins were unsure whether or not they were actually going to be able to sign Pastrnak, wouldn't that have been the perfect time to deal him for someone like Tkachuk?
Yeah, if there was real uncertainty, then yeah, definitely like should have considered it. But I think they were always pretty confident that they were gonna get a deal done. Like, I think they knew there was mutual interest and eventually they would find the landing spot. So like that's another factor too, is I don't think Florida believed they were going to be able to re-sign Jonathan Huberdeau. He had 1 year left, and I think they knew he was gone. I think they knew he was going to test free agency. So, like, that's another factor. Like, Florida, it was easier for them to take this risk because, yeah, Jonathan Huberdeau just had an awesome season. He had, what, like 115 points or something that year? But if they figured they can trade for Tkachuk, who was a restricted free agent, so there was some team control, like, it made all sense in the world for them to do that because they probably thought, well, we're going to lose Huberto in a year anyway, so we might as well get Tkachuk and see if we can lock him up long term. Whereas, yeah, it's a little different if you're the Bruins and if you're fairly confident you're going to re-sign Pastrnak, then it's like, well, you know, what are we really going to take the risk of trading him for? Whereas if there was any uncertainty, then obviously, yes, it becomes more of a possibility and more of something that, you know, they would have had to have considered.
And don't you think, too, not to go down this road too long, because we have other things to talk about, but if you think about it contractually, Scott, you mentioned the difference in cap hit for both of the guys. The contract that Tkachuk's under just gives the team that extra amount of flexibility to do other things with too, which can be a difference in trying to put together that complete roster at the end of the day. So Pastrnak's contract does handcuff the Bruins more than the deal that was able to be made for Tkachuk. And you could probably make the case that Tkachuk should be making more, but you got him for the contract. You got him at, was it $9 million?
9.5, which 9.5. Is honestly like already one of the steals of the league, yeah, given what he's given Florida in 1 year. And I mean, if he keeps it up, then it only looks like even more of a steal going forward.
Yeah. And so then you have a competitive advantage in that way too. When you're building a team around that, you have a little bit more flexibility to add around him. As long as you don't end up with an equal amount of stupid contracts on the books.
So what would we decide to go to here? I think we've probably discussed enough about that hypothetical situation. I don't know if we even gave like real clear, concise answers. I think we all kind of were like, we don't really know.
But well, I guess really more it's just
in hindsight, we all agree
the merits of it, yeah, and to say that it was a closer call than people had thought of, like,
I would not have done it last year, and I don't like contradicting myself because I feel like I try to make sure I think through my takes at the time, and I wouldn't have done it last year, so I'm not going to sit here and change my mind now.
Yeah, no, after all said and done, what we just mentioned, why maybe Tkachuk would have been a great idea, I just don't think, like Scott said, at the time they were, I think they must have been very confident about locking up Pastrnak for the long term. Otherwise, it would have been a much tougher decision, like we mentioned.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect.